Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5.
Begin reading at verse 5. Go through verse 11. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we give you praise today for your kindness that you've shown to us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we do often ask ourselves that question, how can it be that you should love a soul like we are? Lord, we thank you for it. We just praise you that your kindness and your love and your mercy, your great salvation. Father, I pray that you would give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and that you bring a blessing to every person here. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I settled on this because of the statement about the devil. It was what caught my attention first, and as I began to study the passage a little more, I went a different direction or two. But the thought of the devil, you know, there's an awful lot of people in this world who don't believe there's a devil. I remember when I was first saved and I was talking to someone, and they said, oh, there's no such thing as a personal devil. When you call it the devil, it's just a way of superstitiously saying our sin, our wickedness, our evil. And in truth, everything the devil made you do pretty well naturally. Isn't that right? He generally works right along your natural inclinations, at any rate. But you know, I have this problem. I'm a Bible believer. It is a problem. It causes you trouble. You believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. You know what the Bible tells me? The Bible tells me there is a personal devil. His name is Satan. His name is Lucifer. He comes as an angel of light sometimes. He is an enemy of God. He is an enemy of yours. He is a devil. He was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. There are now four cherubim left in heaven. There were five. Satan is just not an angel. He was a cherub, specially created, absolutely beautiful, covered the throne of God. The study about him is a study in the Bible, all the way through the Bible. We find him in the first chapters of Genesis, and we find him in the last chapters of Revelation. And he's all the way through. We find him when he's talking to Eve. We find him talking to the Lord Jesus Christ in his temptation in the wilderness. We find him attacking Paul with his messengers. There is a personal devil. Now, he is not like God. He cannot be every place at all times. He is in one place at one time. He can move pretty fast. But the Bible says that when he fell, he took a third of the angels of heaven with him. That's a great big number. Those angels are what we call demons or devils today, evil spirits. They're very powerful beings, and they're spiritual beings. The Bible says some things about the devil you ought to know. And Paul says we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, you may not be a Bible believer, and you're welcome. You're welcome to believe whatever you want to believe. God gave you that right. God gave you that opportunity. You can just make up in your mind anything you want to make up and say, I believe that. Or you can believe some of these other people. I mean, there were a bunch of people. I guess they must have been sincere believers because they all killed themselves here a while back out in California expecting a spaceship. You reckon they were sincere? I imagine they were sincere. Were they committed? Well, I don't believe it was murder. I believe it was mass suicide. So I guess they were pretty well committed. They had a belief. They believed it strong enough to die for it. People have been doing that for years throughout human history. But the Bible tells us there is a personal devil. There is a person, a created being known as the devil. And to take him lightly would be a very foolish thing to do. As I begin to look at this passage, and it is an interesting passage on the devil, but as I begin to look at this passage, I came out after studying with three Bible facts I want to bring to your notice today. Three Bible facts and how you ought to respond to them. The first one is in the middle of verse 5, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." That doesn't tell you to do anything right there. That gives you a statement of fact. You know what it says? God doesn't like your pride. God will resist your pride. You know where you get in trouble? I can do it. It's me, O Lord. I can handle it. I don't need you. I don't need my husband. I don't need my wife. I don't need my children. I don't need the church. I don't need anybody praying for me. I don't need anybody helping me. I can do it. One of the biggest problems young people have is they're so full of pride. They're so full of pride. And some of us, as we get old, don't lose much of it. It's sad, isn't it? That we are so proud. But here's just a statement of fact. It's just a plain, flat statement of biblical fact. God resisteth the proud. Now, you want to know something? God resists the proud. You want to get resisted? Be proud. Isn't that simple? Now, that doesn't take a great theological education, does it? I mean, you got a fact today. We got a fact right here. God resisteth the proud. Let me do something else. God giveth grace to the humble. God resists the proud. God favors the humble. Very interesting fact. I want you to know that's something you can base your life on. You've got a biblical fact that it doesn't have anything to do with the circumstances of life. It doesn't matter whether you're old or whether you're young or whether you're skinny or whether you're fat or whether you're tall or you're short or you're educated or you're ignorant. Here's just a flat statement of doctrinal fact going right across the board. You want to know something about God today? God resists the proud. So take a look at your own pride. Take a look at the proud around you. And you say, well, wait a minute. God does not like that. There's a statement right here that God does not like proud people. He doesn't like your proud attitude. He doesn't like your haughty manner. He doesn't like you thinking you're everything. Do you realize you don't take another step without the grace of God? You don't take another step. You don't enjoy another moment. You don't breathe another breath without the mercy of God. I don't care how strong your body is. I don't care how beautiful your body is. I don't care how graceful you may be. And all of these wonderful things and traits and attributes that we have, that we've been given or that we've worked to attain, or abilities that we've acquired, and they are wonderful and they bring us great joy and great pleasure. But wait a minute. You couldn't take one step. You'd never play the organ again or the piano again. You'd never toot your horn one more time without the grace of God. So why be so proud? What do you have that you weren't given anyway? What have you attained that's so great in your life that you could walk around so proud? I remember one time I was preaching in a small congregation, and I made a statement about, you know, I'm fighting pride. I have to fight my pride because I grew up proud. And one lady said, well, I don't know what you got to be proud about. Sort of busted my bubble. Broke my balloon. Well, I don't know what you're so proud about. Well, I guess I'm just proud I was alive and proud I was doing whatever I was doing. Proud I was having another baby. I know you're thankful. I'm thankful my wife's not pregnant. Very thankful. But y'all enjoy it. Have a good time. God resisteth the proud. It's just a flat across-the-board statement, a doctrinal fact. And look at the second one. Look at verse 7. Another one of those facts that just stood out to me is this laid out across the board. You ought to be able to see this. You ought to be able to accept it. It says, He careth for you. Did you see that? He, God, careth for you. With all the power God's got, all the wisdom God's got, He cares for you. Isn't that good? You know, as I look at a lot of things in life, you know, there are a lot of people that don't care for me. They don't care whether I sink or swim. They don't care whether I rise or fall. They don't care whether I'm good or bad or whether I'm happy or sad. They really don't care. I'm not that important to them. And we pass them every day. We drive through this city of a million people, and all the people that are all around going all the directions. I have always wondered why all the people on the south work on the north, and all the people on the north work on the south. All the people on the east work on the west. All the people on the west work on the east. The roads are full both directions all the time. Have you ever figured that out? I don't understand this. It looks like if we all were outside and we all worked in the city, that in the morning all the crowds would be going in, no crowds going out. In the evening all the crowds would be going out, no crowds going in. No, it don't work that way. It's an amazing thing. And all those people going, they don't care for you. They don't know your name. They wouldn't recognize your face. If you were laying on the side of the road dead, it would be nothing more but a moment's thought as they passed by. I don't care for you. But the Bible says right here, an absolute fact, just a biblical fact, just stated flatly, no conditions added to it in any way, He careth for you. Now, I don't know why God cares for you. It's in His character. It's in His nature. It's just because He's God. That's the kind of God He is. If He were a God that didn't care for you, what could you do about it? You wouldn't have a choice anyway. If God were a bad God, if God were an evil God, what could you do about it? Nothing you could do about it. But my, what a blessing. We find out that God makes a statement here. He careth for you. This God who resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. This God that spoke the world into existence. This God that created you. He careth for you. How He could care for so many of us, I don't know. But He does. But there's a third fact here. Verse 8. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It didn't say whether they were bad or good. It didn't put a lot of conditions with it. You know what it said? It said the devil, this person, this created being, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He devours some in black families and some in brown families and some in red families and some in white families and some in yellow families. He devours some that are rich and he devours some that are poor. But he's walking around looking to see who he may devour. He devours people. He eats up your money. He eats up your happiness. He eats up your health. He eats up your future. God cares for you. The devil wants to eat you up. You think that's a joke? Do you think that that's just a superstition somebody has from the medieval ages? It's in the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It makes sense. You want to know something about the devil? Here's just a plain biblical fact stated right across the board about the devil. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And let me tell you what, he will devour you if you let him. He will devour you if you let him. There's not a good side to the devil. There's not a bad side to God. There's not a good side to the devil. When we think of the devil, we think of somebody evil. We think of somebody that's wicked. We think of somebody that hates God. We think about somebody who wants to hurt you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to lie to you and put it over on you. He wants to sucker you away from God. You remember when he first meet him? He's in the form of a serpent in Eden. And there Adam and Eve are in such a beautiful surrounding, a beautiful setting, such a perfect, wholesome life. The devil didn't like that. So he deceives Eve. Did you know there are people going around talking to people all over this town right now this week that are trying to steal your money? That are trying to sell you a contract you don't need? Trying to get you to buy into a scheme that'll make you lose? They deceive old people who can't figure well, can't see well, can't think well, don't have somebody to help them out. They deceive old people and take everything they've got. You know why? Because they're of the devil. They're like the devil, like their father the devil. The works that he did, that's what they do. Nothing good about the devil. He wants to devour you. You know what he'd like to do? He'd like to devour your marriage. And he's done it to plenty. He'd like to devour your marriage. You know what he'd like to do? He would like to build you and fill you with hate. You'd hate your husband or hate your wife or you'd hate your children or you'd hate your parents. He'd like to fill you with hate. You know what he'd like to do? He'd like to devour your children. He didn't want your children growing up with the grace of God in their hearts. He didn't want your children growing up preaching Jesus Christ. He'd like to take your children away from you and turn them against the Word of God and turn them against the gospel and turn them against you. That's what he'd like to do. He'd like to devour your health. He'd like to sucker you down a wrong road and see you whip. Why is it? Because he's the devil. And he walks about seeking whom he may devour. If you had a lion in your house, would you allow your little babies to just be around? It's just a piece of meat to the lion. I wonder every once in a while when one of these big dogs eats a child. And I wonder why people aren't thinking that dog just looks at an innocent meal. It's as natural for that dog to eat that baby as it is for him to eat a rabbit. He's doing his nature. Do you know what the devil's doing? He's doing his nature. He's doing what's natural to him. He's doing what pleases him. There is a devil out there, and he has caused you enough harm already. And he'll cause you a whole lot more if he can. Three, I think, just tremendous facts in these three verses. God resisteth the proud. He careth for you. And the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, there's three facts that, I tell you what, you're going to have to live with. I don't care whether you like them. I don't like them. Well, it doesn't make much difference whether you like them or not. It doesn't really matter if it fits in with your plans or not. It doesn't matter at all. They aren't going to change. No circumstance in your life, not your age, not adding a few years on to you, not whether you could win the lottery, whether you had a lot of money, or if you stay healthy until you're 100 years old. None of these things change these three facts. Three facts right out of the Bible that come right out to you. What can you do about them? Well, several things. There's five things in here that Peter tells you to do. Holy Spirit, there's some things. With these facts in mind, there's some things you can do. And there's some things to do. It said right here, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. There's something for you to do. We're not naturally humble, most of us. There are some people that are just sort of naturally humble. You walk up to them and they're humble. But most of us aren't naturally humble. You know what most of us are? Naturally proud. We may not, like the lady said, I don't know what you got to be proud about. I mean, you know, we may not have a whole lot to be proud about. Comparing ourselves with them. I guess if you were one of these sports stars and they just paid you $50 million to sign a contract with some people, you could walk around pretty cocky and pretty proud, you know. And you might understand, well, he's the best of this in the whole world. And you might understand the poor guy, how does he stand a chance? I mean, everybody thinks he's so great. He thinks he's so great. I mean, the guy is a real loser when it comes to pride. How in the world can he be anything but? Most of us aren't that way. Most of us aren't that pretty. Sorry. But we don't all look like models, do we? Most of us aren't that strong. Most of us aren't that good at whatever we do. None of us are that good. But you know what God tells us to do? He said, humble yourselves. That's something for you to do. I get people every once in a while telling me that, you know, they don't like me preaching on do as a Christian woman. This Bible's so full of acts and verbs. Try reading it some. Just take your concordance down and read some of the verbs in there. It's telling you to do some things. There's some things for you to do. If you do them, you're going to be blessed. If you don't do them, you're going to be cursed. As simple as that. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Have you ever thought about when your pride rises up? I don't have to put up with that. That maybe you do. Maybe the best thing that could happen to you is that you put up with that. I remember a time whenever I went broke and I went back to teaching school and I had the sorriest kids I'd ever taught. Absolutely without question, out of all the years I taught, I had the sorriest bunch that year that I ever taught, before or after. And I remember one day I'm sitting at my desk. It's probably 4 or 5 o'clock. I just typed out my lessons for the next day. And I'm getting ready to go home. And I was so disgusted. And I took my hands and I beat on that desk. And I said, I don't have to put up with this. Boom. And a little voice came in. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, what a humbling thought. There have been a few times that I didn't think I ought to have to put up with my wife. Bible said, yeah, you do. A few times she's ready to throw me out, you know, but, you know, Bible said she had to put up with me. Amen. Oh, yes, you do. Humble yourself. Now, what do you have to do to humble yourself? You ever thought about that? Well, you need to think about the way you think, because that's where it all comes from. Right up in here. The way you think. You think you're really more important than you are. Isn't that your problem? Have you ever thought about, you know, you're so worried about coming to church or whatever. Oh, I don't know whether this is right or whether this, are the colors just right? You know what you think? You think everybody is interested in what you wear. You would really be humbled if you knew how many people even cared. They don't care. They're all interested in themselves and what they're wearing. That is a humbling thing if you thought about it, that really they're not worried so much about you, they're worried about what you think about them. Humble yourselves. Start off in your head making Jesus Christ Lord.
Amen.
You know what? That would humble you. I'm not boss. I'm not boss. Jesus Christ is boss.
Amen.
I'm not the Lord. I'm not the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
I can't just give orders. I have to obey. That's got me in a lot of trouble, obeying the Lord. I got myself in several fixes over my life because the Lord said, do that. I said, yes, sir, boy, sure got me in a lot of trouble. But that's good for you. Might be real good for you. Humble yourselves in your own mind. Let me tell you another thing to do. Start praying. It's sort of hard. Now, I guess some of these Pentecostals, I've heard some of them talk about commanding God and whatever. You got one verse in the Old Testament, but it's a little bit squeaky. I wouldn't rely too heavy on that one. But if I were you, I would go to God humbly. Try praying. Lord, the thing's outside my control. How about your kids that get big enough to get on outside and get in trouble? What can you do? Well, you can talk and you can pray. And that's about what you can do. You can talk to them. You can reason with them. You can rebuke them. When it all comes down, you got to start praying. And you know what? That takes things out of your hands. It's stupid. Lord, would you take this little family that's breaking up and put it back together again? Lord, would you protect my children from all the harm that there is out there? There's a lot of harm in this world. There's a lot of harm in this world. There are natural disasters, and then there are just wicked people that cause other kinds of disasters. Are you big enough to protect them? I was teasing my son-in-law, George. He had accidentally hit my daughter. She had her nose all scratched up, and I said, I'm going to take you out. You know, I'll protect her. I can't protect her. Probably couldn't even from George, but what about the world out there? Can I protect her? Can I keep her from the robbers or the muggers that are down the street? Can I keep her safe from some gang somewhere? Can I keep her safe from some terrorist who's going to blow up a mall somewhere? Can I protect her? I can't protect her. Get it in your head. You can do certain things, some things you can't do. You can't protect her. What does that do? It ought to humiliate you. It ought to humble you. You ought to get out on your face before God and say, God, I need your help. I'm just one little human being in this life, and there's so many things I don't know, and there's so many things I can't see. I need your help. You need to pray to love your wife. You need to pray to love your husband. Sometimes you might have to pray to love your children. Well, that's the first bit of advice, that humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Let me tell you what, there's a time coming you're going to walk exalted. Oh, man. Maybe not in this life. You may be exalted in this life. Even you might be exalted in this life. But there's a time coming. You are going to be exalted. You know what it tells me? It tells me Jesus is coming with all his glory and all the glory of his angels. And we're going to be with him. That's going to be a glorious time. I mean, we're going to be on the right side at the right time. And glorious time. Absolutely wonderful. Then it said, verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Casting all your care upon him. You've got a lot of cares this morning. Some of you have problems in your marriage. Some of you have problems with your children. Some of you got problems with your health. Some of you got problems in your family. Some of you got problems at your work. Some of you are just hurting this morning. Some of you are just down. You don't know why you're down. You're just down. You got cares. The cares, riches, and pleasures of this life bring us many times down. They don't always lift us up. Everything doesn't always go smooth. Everything doesn't always go right. Well, you know one of those statements of fact? He careth for you. Then as a result of that, cast your care upon him. You ever cast your care on somebody that didn't care for you? I've done it a time or two. You ever told a secret to somebody who promised they'd keep it, but they told it before you got out the door? Before you made it home? Hey, I learned a time or two. Don't trust anybody. We love to talk, and some of us are just natural born gossips. We just love to talk. Here's somebody that cares for you. wouldn't hurt you at all. And he said, take all your cares and cast them on him. I can't think of a better thing for you to do today. And in the year to come, and nobody knows what this year is going to bring. We don't have a clue. But you know what he did say? Cast your cares upon him. All your cares. You got cares about your health? Cast them on him. You got cares about your future? Cast them on him. You got cares about your marriage? You got a stupid husband that doesn't know how to treat you. How about casting your cares on the Lord? You got a wife that's so stubborn and insensitive that she's not a very good wife. Well, why don't you cast your care upon the Lord? I'll tell you what, he can change her quicker than you can. He can change him quicker than you can. You got some children that are bringing heartache to you, who blessed your heart. Take it to the Lord. Cast your care upon him because he cares for you. Another little thing he said here, verse 8, be sober. Now, I know you're going to pick on me on this because I'm the eat, drink, and be merry type. I do like to eat, drink, and be merry. I've caught some flack because of my advice on Y2K. I said, if next year everything's going to stop and we're all going to be broke, I'm going to eat well this year and enjoy myself so I'll have good memories. So it all falls apart next year, you see, I've already gained 10 pounds. I'm going to have good memories because this year I didn't spend it being miserable trying to worry about what's going to happen in the future. And yet, my friend, I'm not entirely stupid either. It says, be sober. Now, that third fact in these facts I was giving you was there is a devil out there and he wants to devour you and yours. And that ought to sober you up. If I knew that a gang of toughs was going to come at my house at about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd load every gun I had. I'd pile the furniture up against the side. I'd prepare for them. I'd do what I could. Well, the same way it said, get serious. Some of you don't have enough seriousness in yourself to meet life. Some people just spend money like they've got it and they don't have it. They put some people like that in jail. I didn't get my first credit card until I graduated from college. I was through with high school. I was through with 4 years in the Air Force. And I was finished college and they sent me a credit card. They send them to my grandkids when they finish high school. They finish high school, they got 2 or 3 credit cards already in the mail to them. And what do? They go out and spend that good money. Be sober. Now, he's not talking about not drinking, but that fits. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about have some serious common sense. Use your head. Think about the future. Think about the results of your action. Be sober. Why? There's a devil out there that would like to devour you. Use your head. There's a devil that would like to destroy your marriage. Use your head. There's a devil that would like to destroy your health. Be sober. And notice what he said. He said, be vigilant. Be vigilant. Now, a person that's vigilant is like a guard. I stood guard duty many a night. And you know what? We had an old colonel, full bird, you know, had a bird on his shoulders. He wasn't one of these guys with a leaf. He had that big old eagle sitting up there. He was mean as a snake. Colonel Marichini. And that guy, though he was a colonel and the boss of the whole big deal, he would ride around at 3 o'clock in the morning checking guards. I met him several times. You don't go to sleep when Colonel Marichini's your colonel. No. You would find yourself in a world of hurt very quickly. Vigilant. I don't care if you're getting tired. I don't care. Pinch yourself. Do whatever you got to do. Stay awake. Why? There's an enemy out there. You can get yourself in all sorts of trouble. You got a devil out here walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He'd like to destroy your marriage. He'd like to destroy your happiness. He'd like to destroy your love. He'd like to take away your testimony. If you're saved, you've been born again, he can't take away your soul. He can steal your joy. He can steal your testimony. He can steal your influence. He can steal any witness you might have to some other people around you. You better be vigilant. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now look at verse 9. Resist. Steadfast. What can you do with a devil like this? You can resist. How do you resist? Steadfast in the faith. I don't know whether this makes any sense to you or not. I don't know whether I've communicated it well enough or not. But there is a weapon in your hand. Amen. There are 3 facts here that are stated very clearly, bluntly, openly, the incontrovertible, absolute doctrinal truths from the Word of God. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. God careth for you, and there is a devil that as a roaring lion walks about seeking to devour. What do you do about it? Well, first of all, humble yourselves and cast your care upon the Lord. Be sober, be vigilant, and resist steadfast in the faith. What is your answer? What have you got? Can you fight the devil or these battles with your physical arms? Can you load your shotgun and aim it towards the door and wait for the enemy to try to come in and strike? No. You don't stand a chance. Can you eat enough, get fat enough that you'll make it through the trouble? No, that won't work either. The very simple answer to every problem you have is faith. Resist steadfast in the faith. Look at Ephesians 6:16. In all the armor that God has prepared for a Christian, He makes a little statement above the shield of faith. He says, above all. I'm not going to preach on all the armor, but just this one thought, because we come down to faith over here in this passage. Above all. Bigger than everything else. Above every other protection you've got, you need the shield of faith wherewith you shall quench the fiery darts of the wicked. What is faith? It's taking God at His word. Taking God at His word. You know what you need to do? You need to start right now building your life on what God says. Not what you think. Not the way you were raised. Not what the neighbors think. Not what the television says. Not what your friend at work says. What does God say? Oh yeah, it'll get you in some trouble. I guarantee you it'll get you in some trouble if you stand on God's word. But you're going to be in a whole lot worse trouble if you don't. I'd rather take the trouble on being on God's side than to take the whipping I'd get from being out of God's side. Above all, out of everything else I've named, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, whom resists steadfast in the faith. What do you believe that can save you, friend? Well, let me tell you, it's very simple. Start off with, Jesus Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary. Fundamental, basic foundation of everything is your salvation rests in Christ and Christ alone. Jesus, the one that died. You can't save yourself. You can't be good enough to save yourself. I don't care how good you are. You may be the best person inside this room. Without Jesus Christ, you'll split hell wide open. You need Jesus to pay for your sins. He went to the cross of Calvary, and there on the cross of Calvary, He died under the load of your sins. He paid for them. Praise God, He paid for them. Don't ever get to thinking you can pay for them, because you can't. That's the foundation. You build upon that foundation by making Jesus Christ Lord. I want to please Him. I want to please Him. You know, if you just wanted to please Jesus, you'd miss a whole lot of the traps the devil has. Awful lot of the traps the devil's got out there for us. You'd miss them if Jesus Christ, if in your mind you wanted to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear a statement on television every once in a while saying, the biggest deterrent to drugs is an interested mother and father. An interested mother and father. Talk to your kids. They'll listen to you. There's a statement, and this isn't made by religious people. This is made by teachers and educators and government people saying, talk to your people, talk to your kids, you can influence them. Well, if you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, some of it ought to rub off on your children. Some of it ought to rub off on your friends and your family. Some of it ought to rub off on your wife. Some ought to rub off on your husband. Resist steadfast in the faith. You say no to the devil. You say no to sin. You say no to certain directions. I'm not going that way anymore. I've been down that path. I've suffered that pain. I've been hurt that way. I don't need to go that way anymore. You make up your mind and you make some changes in your life. There's some things you just quit. Now, I don't know what they might be for you today. There may be some things you ought to just right now quit. Don't go there anymore. Just don't go there anymore. Drop that friend. There's some friends you don't need. Just say no. The pain, the hurt that's going to come is worse than whatever you may have to feel in just rejecting that friendship. Resist steadfast in the faith. I don't know what problems you and I are going to face. We're going to face them. You're not going to get out of this life without some problems and troubles. You're going to have some physical pain. You're going to have some spiritual pain. You're going to have some hurt. Your heart's going to be torn apart. And yet I do know this. I know there's a God up there that cares for you. He cares for you. That's a fact that you can go to Him with. He cares for you. Let me say to you, if you're lost here this morning, He cares enough for you, He'll hear your prayer if you'll call upon Him. If you just ask Him to have mercy and save your soul, He'll save your soul today. That's how much He cares for you. And my Christian friend, He cares for you. He wants you to be successful more than you want to be successful. He wants you to be happy. He came to give you an abundant life. And you can have the abundant life, but the abundant life is lived in Jesus Christ for His glory and with Him as Lord of your life. Money does not bring the abundant life. No matter what you may think, it doesn't do it. Even health does not bring the abundant life. The abundant life comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord. Well, I hope it's a blessing. Let's stand and sing number 249. If God's spoken to your heart in any way, if you're here without Christ, you'd like to be saved, come down here and grab me by the hand. I'll be glad to talk to you or get somebody else to talk to you. Don't walk out of these doors without Jesus Christ as your Savior. My Christian friend, if God's spoken to your heart in any way, why, this altar's open. Do as you please. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us, that You care for us. Lord, that You care for us in all the battles and fights and troubles that we face. We thank You for Your great love. We don't understand it, but we appreciate it. We recognize it. We thank You for it. Lord, I pray You would hear the prayers that are prayed in this place this morning and answer them, give comfort and peace to the hearts. I pray any lost soul in the sound of my voice that You'd touch them, that they might be saved before it's eternally too late. I ask Your protection upon this church, these families, this people. Draw us close to Yourself, and in Your mercy, guide us and protect us from harm. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good day, and God bless you.